It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamaria, I'm very good, thank you. Rachel, yeah, summer's here and Christmas is on the way.
It very much is.
There's a couple of weeks of hard work before that happens.
Exactly, and a few big things going on in Tamaki Makaurau at the moment. We're going to talk a little bit about the Waitakere's and some more about the closures to walking tracks. We're also going to talk about the Auckland Port and a potential move to that, and a bit about Lime Scooters as well. So shall we start with talking about the Waitakere's, Phil?
Yeah. Well, that's really important to all of us because, you know, we know from the figures of the spread of kauri dieback that the survival of this iconic tree is threatened in Auckland. And we took pretty decisive steps to stop that spread, including lifting our budget from $3 million over a 10-year period to $100 million, closing a whole lot of tracks and renovating tracks so that they were safe and the kauri dieback disease would not be transmitted by people using them. And then you get some clowns that say, oh, we don't care about the future, we just want to walk down the track. And this person was warned three times and just ignored it each time. So now he's being prosecuted, and that case will come to court early next month.
So this is the first person who's been prosecuted for walking on closed tracks. Do you sort of foresee much more of this? Are people respecting the closures generally, or how is it sort of, I guess, working at the moment?
Yeah, most people are respecting it. Most people understand. We know that kauri dieback is transmitted by human beings, mud on our boots, and that it translates from the roots of one infected tree to the roots of other trees that aren't infected. And we know we've got to try and stop that. So most people are responsible. They understand that. They will go down the tracks that are kauri dieback disease safe, and they see what we need to do for the future. But some people just don't give a damn. And if they don't give a damn, and we're spending $100 million to try to preserve these trees and protect them, we're not going to let them get away with putting their selfish interests ahead of what's good for the environment, what's good for the community. Now, look, I hope we don't have a whole lot of prosecutions. I hope that people will see sense, and we try to work by persuasion and by education. But when people simply thumb their nose at what the rules are and say we don't care, well, that's when you prosecute. And this prosecution is merited, and it's important that it goes ahead to send a very clear message to other people like this particular individual that says, we'll put our selfish needs ahead of what our community, our environment, our city needs.
Now, obviously, we're heading into the summer season, as you were just saying, and that is the time of year that people want to go for lovely big walks around the Waitakere's. And it's also the time of the year that we start to get a lot of tourists as well. How are we set up for, I guess, educating tourists on the kauri dieback issues?
Well, there are big notices everywhere. We've closed off the tracks that should not be used, so you can't stumble on the track and think that it's okay by mistake. For the tracks that we have reopened, and I think there's about another 60 kilometres of tracks that have been reopened, first of all, they're properly drained and metalled, so you're not going to get mud on your boots. Secondly, there are stations for cleaning your boots before you go in and when you come out, and that's really important as well. And those are set up now in a way where you can't just walk around them, you have to walk through them, and it has to be an absolutely deliberate act if you don't use the cleaning station. And we have people there that are kauri ambassadors that explain what's happening and why to people that are there in a lot of the areas. So, you know, we are making a huge effort. We're injecting a lot of the trees that are at risk of the kauri dieback with a substance called phosphate that doesn't cure the disease, but can help slow it and stop it infecting trees. And so, you know, look, we're doing everything we can, and that's what you and your listeners would expect us to be doing, because none of us want to see kauri trees that are hundreds of years old simply wiped out because of mistakes made by our generation. We've got an obligation to the future, and we're meeting that obligation.
Well, let's talk a little bit now about Auckland Ports, and there's been this sort of talk about if it's going to move to Whangarei. What's all of this about, Phil?
Yeah, look, I came out some years ago and said, look, I want to see the ports moved over time. Why do I want to see them moved over time? I want to see them moved over time because in another maybe 20 years, 25 years, they will have reached full capacity, and we weren't going to start building the port further and further out into the harbour. Aucklanders didn't want that, and I didn't want that. And the second thing is, it'd be great eventually as we start to restore access to the public to the waterfront, and we've done that in the Viaduct Basin. We're doing it now down the Wynyard Quarter and Wynyard Point. There's a whole lot of money being spent down there. We're getting rid of the hazardous substance tanks. We want to start using Bledisloe for the cruise industry, because you know cruise industry is worth hundreds of millions of dollars in expenditure in Auckland to us. And ultimately, but not all at once, we want to free up the rest of that port land. But when you make that decision, the first question is, where do you move it to? And I said, look, this is not a decision just for Auckland. It's about the region. It's about the country. And I said to government, why don't you set up a study that will demonstrate what are the options and what are the best options? Now, I was entirely in favour of that. I led the charge. I asked for it. But I've got to say, I really do lack confidence in the study that's been undertaken. It's been undertaken by a group led by a chairman who used to be Far North mayor, who slags off Auckland. I see in the paper today, you know, saying, "Oh, Auckland just spends money; it doesn't add to the GDP." Actually, we create about 38% of this country's GDP. He wants it to go to the north because that's the political interests of the people that are directing him. I want to see a decision made not on politics but on facts, on hard evidence, on what's good for us, the region and the country. And frankly, I've been pissed off at the way in which this thing has been handled. Each time they come out with a report, it's leaked before it's given to the council, which on behalf of all of the people of Auckland owns the port. I don't think that the report stands up to scrutiny. And I saw a report by three different economists the other day, all rubbishing the report, saying it's not to be relied on. And if the government were going to spend more than $10 billion of our money on the infrastructure needed for the port up north, we'd want to be sure that our money was being wisely spent. And I've got no confidence in the figures that the study has come up with. And that's why I've said to government, you need to have Treasury examine that. You need independent analysis of that. Because if you spend $10 billion on this and it flops, that's $10 billion not available for much needed infrastructure and a whole lot of other things around our city and our country.
Well, let's. I imagine this is going to be a long conversation. It's not going to happen overnight, so I'm sure we'll touch back on this one again.
It's going to be a debate, I think. We'll come back to that.
I would say so. Let's talk a little bit about e-scooters, a subject that keeps popping up in the news and in people's streets as well. But we're talking about Lime scooters, which have been the sort of biggest company, I guess, we've seen around, are now being replaced, I guess, with different providers. What's going on with this, and what's the council got to do with it, Phil?
Well, we don't regulate ordinary scooters that are just owned by people, but we do regulate those that are let commercially. And Lime was the initiator of electric scooters in Auckland and the biggest provider. You'll recall that late last year we had real problems with Lime because the wheels were locking up, people were falling off, they were being injured, and we did not believe that Lime handled that appropriately. We did not believe that they took the urgent steps as soon as they found out about it. And when our regulators looked at the applicants for providing hire scooters in the city, they did not believe that Lime or another provider, Wave, were as good as four new applicants to provide those scooters. So the scooters aren't coming off the street. Lime are, but they're being replaced. I think we've got about 1,800. They're being replaced by about 3,200, which are not just in the city centre now, but they'll be out in the suburbs and around the region. So the scooters won't go all in one place. But our regulators, that we don't instruct them politically, they make a decision, again, based on evidence. They found that the other applicants for the license to operate the scooters had better strategies for influencing user behaviour to get better safety outcomes and to reduce the potential nuisance problems. And do we have to worry about safety? Well, you know, The accident rate in Auckland has been pretty horrific. It's cost about, I think, about $1.8 million worth of, it's probably higher than that, with something like 1,700 different accidents, including a death and some serious brain injuries. And while we support micro-mobility as a way of getting around, you know, there's been over 2 million Lime rides in Auckland and over 300,000 riders of the scooters. Mm-hmm. We've got to look for the best provider with the best safety record that will minimise safety risks, that will minimise the nuisance of, you know, people leaving scooters that are just dumped in the middle of the footpath, and also minimise the prospect, and I've just been following this quite closely, a lot of the accidents are happening in entertainment areas where people have been out drinking all night and they think, oh, I'll hop on a Lime scooter, race off, and thinking it's a toy, and they end up having a serious injury. Well, you know, you can't drink and drive a motor vehicle, and we need to put restrictions on the ability of people to drink lots of alcohol and then ride a scooter. And the new applicants have you know, put up proposals to council that give council greater confidence that we can have the benefits of the scooters without the disadvantages and the level of safety risk that we've seen today.
Well, let's certainly hope so. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. We always really appreciate it.
It's always good to be on the program, Rachel.
We'll speak to you again.
This time again next week.
We certainly will. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.